are we trying to impress? Jesus would ask. Let's acknowledge him, Jesus. We thank you that you don't let anything go by without confronting us, without correcting us, so that we are definitely right with you. So we take this correction today and appreciate it. We love you. Praise and give you all the glory. And so Jesus is talking to me about how we're so focused on impressing others, especially those in ministry. You know, with Easter coming up, who has the most people coming to their church on Easter? Who has the most Easter eggs? Who has the most subscribers or the most likes, the most views? Why are we trying to be popular? Why are we trying to impress others? That's a question Jesus would like you to ask yourself. Who are you trying to impress? And from there, he took me to John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away and trims off, takes away. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and more richer and excellent fruit. Now he's saying the Father is correcting him. He's pruning him. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, he cuts away. He cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear, every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it more richer and more excellent fruit. That's what Jesus said our focus should be on, to impress him, to have faith, to be humble like Jesus is, to let his Father correct him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Yet my son, and he corrects him. And Jesus wants him to correct him. He said to the disciples next, you are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teaching I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in and being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. And so we're doing our ministry. We have all these plans. We're to impress, many are trying to impress the people. So they have money for this project, that project. But what is Jesus thinking? Are you abiding in him? Is he abiding in you? Are you doing his plan? Are you competing with others? Are you dwelling in him? Is he dwelling in you? Many times I think not. It's easy to see through his eyes the competition that's going on, the things that, you know, when you let him correct you, he's going to show you the things that you're doing that are to impress someone else. You're not impressing him. Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, you have your own plans, you're cut off from vital union with him and you can do nothing. And so even though you're called and you're doing a ministry, it has to be his plan. You can't just come up with something yourself. That's not how it works. Because then you're not ministering to the people what he wants you to minister to them. It should be, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? Do you want to correct me? Do you need to get some dead branches off of me? Do it. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken branch and withers, such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they're burned. That just reminds me of, on that day, Lord, I did this, I did that. He said, I didn't know you. You're doing this all by yourself. Not everyone who calls me Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just because you have the biggest church, just because you were smart on your own and grew your church, and you have all these members, and you have all this money coming in, doesn't mean you know him. Even if you come up with, like, the best messages, you have the most eggs on Easter, you have the most guests coming on Easter. Why are they coming? Have you impressed them, or are they coming to meet Jesus? That's the thing. Why are they coming? Are they responding to Jesus, or are they responding to that you've impressed them? Well, if you come to our church, this, that, and the other thing, remember, Jesus turned the tables in the temple. And that's what is happening if you're inviting people to the church and the only thing that Jesus can see in your eyes is money signs. If a person does not dwell in me, he's thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. That reminds me, I have this big tree in my backyard and it's dead. It's dead. The whole thing is dead. And the branches just keep falling off and falling off and falling off. And we pick them up and throw them in a pile because they're not any good. What are you going to do with dead branches? If you're a dead branch, what is Jesus going to do with you? If you don't bear fruit, if you don't let him prune you, then you're just doing what you're doing for nothing. If you live in me, and is this where I am? Yes, verse 7. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it'll be done for you. If you live in him and he lives in you, ask what you will. You know, in any situation you are in life, you're asking and asking and asking, and nothing's happening. It's because you're not abiding. You're not in communion with him. You haven't let him correct you. You're not obeying him. When you bear much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. And so when you ask what you will and it happens, you're bearing much fruit. My Father is then honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of his. When you ask what you will, when you have his power in your life, it's apparent that you let him prune you, right? Jesus didn't do anything on his own. He only did and said what the Father said. He said in verse 1, the Father prunes him. He cleanses him. And that is responding to him and feeding the people that you're ministering to truth. And then knowing that they need Jesus, and apart from him, they can do nothing. Apart from him, you can do nothing. We can do nothing on our own. It might look like something, but we're just a pile of dead branches, and that is a scary thought, that you can be just thrown out into the outer darkness. A dead branch, just thrown away. But you thought you were something, because you had all these followers. You had the most subscribers, the most views. That's not what it's about. It's about being that vessel filled with God, doing his work responding to what he said. Not comparing yourself. Not competing with what's happening out there. Not having the best this and the best that to make it look like you're anointed. Only God can anoint you. You can't anoint yourself. You can't impress others with your own words, your own schemes. You're not even to impress others, right? You're to impress Him. I loved you as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in His love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live in it. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and live in His love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full of measure and complete and following, overflowing. You know, when Jesus just tells you what to do and what to say and where to go and what to do, and you just do it and you let Him correct you, you get on your knees and say whatever you say, show me the truth about myself. When you're not about yourself anymore, that is joy. It's not hard. It's easy because you're depending upon Him and not you, and not what you can come up with to impress someone else. But what you're thinking is, Lord, how can I please you? You're the one I want to impress. I want to be obedient to you. I want to please you. Get the dead branches off of me. Show me myself. This is my command, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one is greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down and give up his own life for his friends. You are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. I do not call you servants any longer, but a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from Him. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to give up his own life for his friends. When He prunes you, that's what you do. You give up what you think, what you want, because you see the truth and the joy in that. Jesus wanted to give up his life for us. You're going to want to give up your life. You're not going to be competing, but you're going to be giving up your life. You're going to humble yourself before that person. You're going to humble yourself. Have it your way. Let's do it your way. Sure. Yeah. Instead of having to be all about you, having to have it your way. Back to verse 15. I do not call you my servants, my slaves, any longer, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you my friends because I've made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from Him. He's showing us. If you humble yourself before Him, He's going to show you so that you can please Him, so you can do His work. He's going to give you the ideas, the knowing, the teaching that you need. It's going to come from Him. And yes, you're going to use your creative abilities for Him to do His work, but not to compete and impress. And then He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed you, I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, that your fruit may be lasting, that I may remain, abide, so that whatever you ask in my name, presenting all that I am, he will give it to you. That person that obeys him is going to be blessed, and it's going to be shown. And you're representing him. He's not going to bless someone that's not representing him. You can make it look like he's blessing you, but then that's really a lie. And so, why bother when all you have to do is obey him? You obey him. And then whatever you ask will be done. And you're presenting who he is. And you're going to be asking things that are good and not selfish. You're going to be like Jesus, asking the Father to bless the food, to feed all those people there. Whatever you ask as representing me, it's not a selfish life. It's unselfish. Just the opposite of how we tend to be. If the world hates you, verse 17, this is what I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world will treat you with affection and will love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, no longer one with it, but I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember that I told you, a servant is not greater than his master, superior to him. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they kept my word and obeyed my teaching, they'll also keep and obey yours. And so, having this humility, the world is just not going to like you, because you carry his presence, and they feel that conviction around you. They felt convicted around Jesus. They don't want to be around him because they feel bad about themselves, and they weren't willing to change. They weren't willing to be pruned. And when you are, you're going to be different than you were. And you're going to have, even though it's good and it's beautiful, and you would think, wow, you should like me better now, it's not going to be that way. Not for everyone, anyway. But for some, just like it was for Jesus. So if you belong to the world, I read that. Remember what I told you, I read that. Verse 21, they will do all this to you, inflict all the suffering on you because you are bearing my name, and on account for my name, for they do not know or understand the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. They would be blameless, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father. If I had not done among them the works which no one else ever did, they would not be guilty of sin. But the fact is now that they have both seen these works and have hated both me and my Father. But this is so that the word written in their law might be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. When the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth comes and proceeds from the Father, he himself, he will testify regarding me. But you also will testify and be my witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And so, Jesus, he's just saying, think about what you're doing. Think about it. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Have you forgotten something? Namely him. You can't do it without him. And it's not a competition. It's not a game. It's time. It's time to get serious about what you're doing. It's time to get serious about involving Jesus in what you're doing and looking to Him, pleasing Him, not someone else, not trying to impress someone else, not doing it this way because they do it this way. It's a good word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to us. Thank you for pointing that out to us. It's so easy for us to get lost and hung up on works and forget about you. So thank you for reminding us, for teaching us, correcting us, getting rid of those dead branches so that we can have your joy in us, so that what we can represent you well. So we look like you, so we don't bring shame to your name. We love you and praise you and give you all the glory. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, He's knocking at the door of your heart. He wants to come in. He said, if you heed my voice, if you abide in me and I abide in you, I'll come and live on the inside of you. And He's going to prune you. He's going to teach you. He's going to send you out to do His work. He's going to abide in you, and you're going to abide in Him. If you don't heed His voice, it's not like that. You end up just doing all that, all the things that you think are right yourself without Him. We don't want to be a pile of dead branches, but we want to do His work beautifully, representing Him. And so pray that prayer. Jesus, come live on the inside of me. I want to hear your voice. Help me to look like you, sound like you, be like you, and do what you're calling me to do. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. God bless you. Thanks so much for listening today.